Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Today, we're excited to share more of our conversation with Darcy Michaud. Darcy is a dedicated and successful HR professional with a career spanning well over 20 years. He was the director of HR for Huron County for 7 years before taking on the role of chief HR advisor for the largest HR consulting firm in Canada. An HR expert in every jurisdiction, Darcy made the move to start his own firm, HR Primed, with municipal and private clients across Canada. In the last episode, we talked with Darcy about some of the important employer obligations during the COVID-19 outbreak and beyond, specifically in relation to people working from home. Today, you'll hear Darcy address issues related to domestic violence, discrimination, and staying social and connected with your team during this challenging time. So one of the other issues that we've heard a bit about as we've sent people to work in their homes is that, you know, during this time, your home is supposed to be a safe place where you're protected from the COVID-19 outbreak. And we know that's true. It's a safe place for that, but not everybody's home is a safe place in other ways. And domestic violence is a risk. It's a risk we talk about when people are working in our workplaces, but when we put them back in their home as their workplace, what do we do to identify and address that?
Yeah, this is actually, and forgive me for saying it or framing it just this way, it's actually quite a sad subject. Domestic violence in North America, Canada in particular, it's been a pandemic all by itself, and pandemic might be the wrong word. It's been a crisis for some time now, and it's not something that most people talk about. And you can imagine, I can't personally, but I'm certain there's people here that might be listening to this, and as unfortunate as it is, that can imagine living in a home where domestic abuse of either a spouse or a partner or a child is something that they live with on a day-to-day basis. And then the government or your employer coming to you and saying, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to leave. It's a really sad thing to think about, but this is the point of these types of conversations. Employers need to think about it. Employers, if you're sending your worker home and you know that one in every 10, and this is a real time stat from StatsCan, that one in every 10 women are either very or extremely, and I put an emphasis on those words. It's just not that they're scared. They're either very or extremely worried about domestic violence in their home. It's almost, if you're that employer with 1,000 employees, it's almost naive to think that one of those 1 in 10 might not be one of your 1,000 employees. So if you look at it from a health and safety perspective, I'll give you most acts or codes across the country have some type of expectation on employers that they have to manage violence in the workplace. Ontario specifically, as an example, has in their legislation that your workplace harassment and violence policy must include provisions around domestic violence. So this is not something that employers, it's not top of mind, I get it, but it's not something that employers, one, should be taken aback by, or two, should not realize that this is technically an obligation of yours. You have an obligation under the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which should be included in your company policy, to protect your employees and have a plan in place in this case of domestic violence. The challenge here is trying to find it, because again, your employees, you can't see the whites of your employees' eyeballs. So you have to do your due diligence to try and identify domestic violence, especially in those cases where it might be more difficult. So what I've been telling my employers is you have to provide your employees with opportunity. It's a well-known, and I won't quote a fact by any means, but it's a well-known piece of information that, you know, domestic violence is not something that most people are willing and free to talk about. In some cases, they're unable, physically or mentally. In some places, they don't have the opportunity. So if you have a worker working from home and they're in a situation like this, you have to be able to give your workers that opportunity to be able to speak to you or reach out to you or send you some type of signal. So things like virtual inspections, which by the way, are an obligation. Just because your workers are working from home doesn't mean you stop doing inspections. But if you can do virtual inspections, that's terrific. Put somebody on a cam, get somebody to take some pictures, look for signs of domestic violence. Obviously the easy signs are things like bruises and stuff like that, which is really even sad to talk about, but you might see a broken table in the background or a broken glass or something or the other. Use that opportunity to look for signs. Have virtual meetings where it's a requirement of the employee that they do so in private. In other words, no family room, no family members around in a room with a closed door. So that way they have a little bit of a safety valve to potentially say or tell you something or give you a hint about what might be going on, and rely on your peer network. So most of the time when domestic violence comes to be known to an employer in the workplace, it does not come from the person who is the victim of domestic violence. It comes from a friend of someone who is a victim of domestic violence. So encourage peer networks, encourage friends to talk to friends. Make sure you do lots of education. Be in their face about it if need be, about this is domestic violence. This is a problem in the community. COVID-19 and working from home could potentially make it worse for some of you. There's help for you there if you need it. Make sure the friends are educated. Make sure your employees are educated. Hopefully the victim is educated enough and has enough opportunity that they'll reach out to you and ask for help.
In a time, you're right, it's a very sad topic, but important to talk about. And I think especially now, because we know that this situation, a lot of people, laid off from work, unemployed. It's a very stressful time. And those types of situations tend to escalate, this sense of crisis and escalate the danger of these types of things emerging. If you do become aware through a peer network or through an employee of a case of domestic violence, what's your obligation as an employee?
That's always been a really difficult question. And I, even though I've been doing this for 23, 24 years, I admittedly struggle with this. I try to provide as much support, and I encourage employers to do the same. You try to provide as much support to the employee as possible. You try to provide them with all the options and all the resources that are out there for them. Obviously, if someone's in dire danger and you become aware of that, your obligation heightens. And at that point, it might be the right thing to do to contact an authority. And an authority isn't necessarily the police. Sometimes an authority is an authority in the subject. So reaching out to your local public health unit or reaching out to the local a women's shelter or authority in your area. But short of it being dire, really what you need to do is provide as much support, as much of a cushion as you can for that employee, that victim, and make sure they have everything they need to be accessible. Encourage their friends. If it comes from a friend, then you're not breaking a confidentiality. You're just reciprocating. So encourage the friends to do the same. Just give them every opportunity to make sure that this is where you can go if you need support. And if it ever gets to this point, we're going to do that for you. So that way you can give them the tip that, you know what, it could be coming. But it's a difficult topic from an HR perspective. And I always try to be humble about my role with an employee's wellness. I'm an HR person, and I like my job, and I'm good at my job, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. There's professionals out there that know how to deal with these things. And our end goal as HR professionals or employers should be to get that employee to that professional. So everything in your power to make that happen.
And just a report, an important reminder for everyone working at home or in their home. And, you know, if you feel unsafe in your home, if you feel threatened, you can call 911. The police will come. They do have police that are sent, who are trained to deal with these matters and help keep you safe during this time. So That should be something that people are aware of and are not afraid to do if they feel unsafe.
That's a great message. It's important for everyone out there. The police have, in a Stats Can report that just came out last month, which the police were coordinated as far as calls coming in and what they were connected to. The police has recognized domestic violence in this kind of crazy time as one of their top priorities. They know that this is happening, but they know it's heightened right now. So they're prepared and ready to assist you if you need help.
That's right. No one should be a victim to this in anywhere, but most particularly in their own home. So if you need help, don't be afraid to ask for it. We've got some other things that, we want to talk about too here. So one of them is around discrimination. And in certain cases, employers can insist that employees work from home right now, or they may need to lay off employees. How do employers protect themselves against claims of discrimination?
That's a really interesting question, because it might seem like a pie in the sky type of question in some people's worlds, but in other people's worlds, especially in larger municipalities where there's a great diversity of employee, this is something that's happening right now. The long and short of it is that policy is critical. So when you lay off people, there's a temptation, especially in smaller workplaces, to lay off the people or not recall the people that would be your traditional problem employee or your attendance issue or something or the other. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that. And it's what it is. That said, if that person were to make a claim of discrimination because they are a protected status under the Human Rights Code, your defense for allowing a 5-year employee to come back where a 8-year employee who's critical to your employment or what you provide, your defense against a discrimination claim is minimal. So it's important to stick to policy, to stick to lists, to stick to protocol. Sending people home, if they don't, and again, I hate to jump on this cure of discrimination, but Asian community, this is where you're seeing a lot of it. A lot of employers, if you are, Asian descent, they're not waiting for any of the signs that, COVID-19 or the CERB benefit to kick in. They're just sending you home because they're scared or they're ignorant or they're fearful, and ignorant being lack of knowledge. It's important to have a list with criteria of why you are laying people off and who would go first. It's important to have a list and criteria which should be closely matched to the requirement about having people stay home around who's going to come back first. So those are the things. If you put it in writing, you educate your employees, you follow your list, you stick to your policy, those are the things that are going to protect you. But if you're going to do things arbitrarily in anything HR, anytime you do anything arbitrarily, you risk all sorts of liabilities. So, the policy and the checklists, following your policy and your checklist, tying your policy and checklist to something tangible, like the criteria to be sent home, issued by public health authorities, those are the things that are going to make you safe from that type of claim.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Darcy Michaud. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Darcy Michaud. Are there any other important considerations that employers should be devoting their attention to right now during COVID restrictions? And as the restrictions start to be lifted in different jurisdictions, slowly being lifted, people being sent back to work in some cases right now, are there other things that employers should be paying attention to?
Oh, for sure. Health and safety is obviously important. But one of the things that I know some employers have struggled with is issues or securities, if you will, around privacy and confidentiality, social networking, IT. These are the types of things that employers need to be really cognizant of, because your obligations under PPEDR, whatever act it is in your jurisdiction that you would be subject to following, remain in place. So there's employees at home who need confidential information, who need employer or client files, et cetera, who are at home with less secure networks or working on different platforms or whatever it is that, I'm not an IT person by any means, but whatever it is, your technology or the information that your employees have at home, all of your obligations remain the same. And because you're in a remote workplace, that means your due diligence, your obligation to protect said privacy and confidentiality of employer files, client files, information being passed to and fro on mediums, that's heightened. So that's something for especially those smaller municipalities that do not have an IT department or an IT person. That's something where third-party outsourcing might be worth, if you're in a position where your employees at home have to have that information, where it's something you might want to look into, even if it's just in a consultation aspect, just to make sure you're doing the right things. And that's going to continue to take place when you start to transfer information from the workplace back into the actual physical workplace, which is your office building or your plant. You have to be sure that everything that was sent out comes back. So checklists, inventory, things of that nature. It would be a good idea for your IT people or your third party, as it may be, to do checks of everyone's laptop, if it's permissible, of whatever that you've provided them, to make sure everything's secure. Aside from IT and the privacy and confidentiality piece, another really important thing that people need to keep an eye out is hours of work. So by now, I think most employers are aware that it is the employer's obligation to track hours, and they must keep hours, vacation time, how many hours people work in a day, et cetera, should they ever be called on by the Ministry of Labor for an audit. Even if a person is salaried but non-management, you're still expected to keep a tracking of their hours, because if they're salaried but non-exempt, they still would receive hours at overtime rate, pay and a half, over 44. So what you're having, and this happened well before COVID-19 ever happened, so it's not unreasonable to suggest that it's going to happen again, is people are working from home, regardless of whether they're being truthful or not, they may be working copious amounts of hours. And if you're not keeping track and monitoring and making sure they're not seeking approval for hours that are worked over 44 hours a week, should you ever be audited, or should the employee ever say, listen, I worked 60 hours every week for the weeks I worked at home, you owe me 16 hours of overtime pay every week. If you can't, when the Ministry of Labor shows up at your door, if you can't produce those numbers, the Ministry of Labor will take the employee's numbers as truth. You have no defense, because it's your responsibility. So it's really important, as part of your tracking your employees and making sure their performance is where it needs to be and their engagement is where it needs to be, that you keep track of your employees' hours, even if they're salaried while they're working at home.
So keeping those timesheets, continuing to have those submitted, even during this time of people working from home, critical to keep those checks and balances in place to protect the organization. One question that I know is going to come up in the weeks and months ahead is around vacation.
Many employees had vacations booked in advance and are scratching those plans now as, you know, things have been canceled and so on. And we still have a lot of unknowns in terms of, you know, how long we're going to have people working from home, certainly in some jurisdictions where they're announcing the early, you know, the early lifting of restrictions. They're still saying, you know, where possible, we should have people who can work from home continuing to work from home to, you know, continue to work on flattening the curve and until we have a vaccine in place, which, you know, we're hearing could be as long as a year or 18 months at least. So what about vacation employers' obligations to get employees some of that needed R&R, even if they are working from their homes?
That's actually a really good question, because I've had it put to me in a few different ways by clients about whether they can make employees take vacation or whether they should be taking vacation. At the end of the day, and surprisingly to me, a lot of employers or HR people even are not aware of this, it is the employer's obligation to make sure your employee takes 2 weeks vacation in a year. It's not a, if you took 5 days, you can carry five over. That's not the case. It is, in fact, your obligation to ensure the employee takes 2 weeks vacation a year. And right now, even though people are at home, this is more important than not. It's important that an employee should not have to be available to you on the phone or Zoom meeting or whatever it is from 9 to 5. People need time to de-stress with their family, to find some normalcy. And I know work provides normalcy for some, but for a lot of people, being away from work is their happy place. So, you know, it's important that employers use vacation time, insist that employees take said vacation time to find that mental wellness, so that mental well-being, if you will, and just, you know, to unplug for a little bit. And when I mean unplug in this virtual workplace, I literally mean unplug. So there's the other side to the sword, if you will. There are employees that have booked vacations because they were going to be going to the Caribbean or to a cottage or something or the other. Where at all possible, you as an employer have the right to dictate, in most cases, and I'll give you the caveat in a second, you have the right to dictate when your employees take vacation. And this, of course, is separate from organizations that have a collective agreement and such. But you have that right. So when someone is booked for a vacation because they were going to go up for a week to their cottage in June and have come to you and said, listen, I can't go to the cottage, I would like to save my vacation, it would be wise. It's an engagement tool. It's the way you treat your employees tool. It would be wise to give that person the opportunity to defer their vacation to a time when maybe the social restrictions have lifted a little, so there's something more they can do. So, you know, that's an opinion. I believe that you need to work with your employees in all cases, even though the employer has the right to dictate when vacation may happen. And on that caveat, just a quick note so I don't leave anybody hanging. If you're an employer that has never dictated vacation before and you have a long practice of not doing that, and then you start to dictate employees' vacation, there is some liability that employee can come back and claim constructive dismissal. So be mindful of what your past practices is and be mindful of what's best for your employee.
So where possible, the best practice is always to work with your team to find a time that works mutually for them to take that downtime. But the downtime is very important, and taking that 2 weeks, whether it's a week at a time or 2 weeks at a time or a week and a couple days here and a couple days there. But having that downtime is so important. And as you said, always being mindful, of course, that that's subject to any collective agreements that are in place with your unions. Are there any other important takeaways or tips? What's most important for employers to be thinking about right now?
Well, if we're talking about the topic that we've talked today, I'd say the best takeaway, if you will, is just to remain diligent. So one of the, most of the questions I'm getting from my clients is around managing their employees and performance, and to a lesser extent, health and safety, because again, the worker isn't in their physical workplace. So that, slips the mind of a lot of employers. But in fact, those are the things that are the most important. And all my clients are talking about, well, how do I make sure my employees stay on the ball? And how do I make sure they're doing their job? I would send the question back to the employers and the owners and the supervisors, what are you doing to do your job? So and what I mean by that is that it's one thing to be worried about the performance of your employees, but you have to be worried about your role as a supervisor in keeping your employees safe. And if you're keeping your employers safe and communicating with them consistently and reaching out to them consistently, then it's actually very organic. One, you're managing their performance. Two, you're doing your due diligence. Three, because you're reaching out to them so often, you can do those social welfare checks. You have an idea of where they stand on issues around alcohol abuse or domestic violence or any of those different types of things. So communication is so critical. Being diligent, use all the various media platforms that are out there. Be creative. I have a client that, and I made this suggestion and they took up on it and they said it was a great success, which makes me so happy, but they're doing virtual walks. So they had a walking club that they would do every day at lunch. So everyone goes out and they walk their own route in their own little neighborhood with their cell phone on, and they all chat to one another in a conference call while they're walking. And, they're getting to experience kind of, but mostly the most important part, the companionship and the exercise and the outdoors well with their work with their peers. So be creative. There's so many different things that you can do with all the great technology and opportunity we have today. In one way, with the weather being as nice as it has been for this type of season and the technology we have available to us, there is no better time. Unfortunately, I know this sounds ironic, but this is happening at a good time for the world. We just have to make sure we're diligent about using the tools and opportunity that we have to make this as safe and as well for all of our employees as possible.
That's a fantastic idea. I love that. Taking a virtual walk together. Our team has been many Fridays, kicking off a little bit early and joining together to do an online game together, so everybody can kind of have a light end to the week, a little bit of laughing with each other, laughing at each other in some cases, and just to, kind of keep it fun. But I think that's so important to keep those social connections. We had a distinction early on in this that, we should stop calling this social distancing. The requirement should be physical distancing, but social solidarity and taking care of each other during this time. So
that's awesome.
I love that idea.
Yeah, that is a great idea. And I can't imagine the bunch of you laughing at one another.
Darcy, thank you so much for coming and providing that advice, that insight. So helpful during this time. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. You know how much I love Municipal World, and you guys do such a great thing for municipalities across Canada and even North America. And I'm just super proud and honored to be part of it.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank Darcy Michaud for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Darcy and his team, follow them on Twitter at HRPrimed. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. I'm Susan Gardner for Municipal World, and we'll be back with more stories next week.